Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of the Frisco and Felicia and Undying Love Affair podcast. Tonight, I will be deconstructing Frisco and Felicia's relationship evolution in the Asian Quarter, say that 10 times fast, with Joanna Schiraldi. So as soon as she calls in, we will just talk specifically about Frisco and Felicia's deepening bond and their closeness in this storyline. The storyline itself was ambitious and kind of, I don't want to say unwieldy, but it was a lot. So we're just going to focus on that since we only have a half an hour. So in just a moment, I will turn Joanna on and then we will get started. Joanna, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, friend. How are you?
I'm good. I have a glass of wine and I have a comfy blanket and I'm ready.
Good. Yeah. Okay. So since we're setting the scene, I have a lot of like LED lights and Christmas lights on, and that's the only light source. And I have my box of wine in my bedroom with me. I brought the box in case I wanted more than just the glass I'm drinking. Anyway, thank
Perfect.
You so much
Efficient.
For making, yes, exactly. Never say that I don't have a plan, right? So thank you for doing this
exactly.
With me at this
oh my
busy
gosh,
time
thank
of
you
year.
For having me. Yeah, no, how about this? This works out, 11 o'clock. I know my kids won't be calling for me and it will be actually quiet. So I'm excited.
Exactly. I'm glad I had the brainstorm to ask you about your availability getting close to midnight. I was like, wait a minute, children have to sleep sometime, surely. I don't know. Anyway.
You know, I'm a night owl too, so this is perfect. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, well, let's get started. And I guess I will ask you if your attempt to watch the storyline in its entirety, not just the FNF parts, went better this time than it normally does.
It did go better initially. I was being very good about like in the first, you know, like probably like one through four playlists. I was like really like watched every clip and was like really paying attention. And then I didn't do so well. And like when at the parts where I like where you had noted like okay this is just gonna be FNF, you want to see what you know was real other things that were going on, you can go to Pixelbar's uploads, you know, I was like I'm totally gonna do that, and then I did not do that. But I must admit that this time around I did pay attention more to the bulk of like the actual story, because when I first was watching the storyline when I first found it again like two, three years ago, I didn't really like I was just really focused on FNF. So
right.
So yeah, I maybe 50% better.
Right. Well, I finally caught on to a major like plot point that I had wrong for years just because I had been mishearing it, which is it's the fishing fleet, as in a fleet of boats, not a plate. Because let me tell you, for years, I'm like, what the fuck are they going to do with a plate? Like, what? Like, I did not understand why the stakes were so high. Oh my God. Fishing fleet.
And then you enlightened me with that. And then the whole, they were what, smuggling cocaine and stuff. This all went over my head in 1985 at 10 years old. I was just like, when are FNF going to kiss again? When's that coming? And I'm, you know, but yeah,
right.
Like in all seriousness, if I may for a second, it's a very complex like story. I mean, they did like a really phenomenal job of like, there's all these layers and there was this stuff going on. And it was like, you know, I mean, the scenes were so long, you know, like between the characters and they have these long dialogues, and I think that was probably exciting for the actors at that point because they were really getting to dig into something really good. But it was, you know, it's kind of like it's long to watch at, you know, at points. So, yeah.
Right. So, well, for that very reason, we're going to limit our discussion tonight to the Frisco and Felicia parts, because I realized that my grand plan to really pay attention to the whole story and get the nuances with other characters. I'm kind of like you. Maybe playlist 1 through 4, I was great at that. And then I realized, well, this was really long and tedious. And for somebody who wasn't an FNF fan in 1985, I could see how they'd be like, what has taken over my show? And I say that fully acknowledging that it was an important story because, hey, putting actual Asian actors on screen was still like pretty revolutionary at the time. I'm impressed that they were saying Asian, I was still hearing other terms that were perfectly acceptable, you know, back when they were used. And I don't even mean the derogatory ones. I just mean the ones that have now fallen out of fashion. The fact that they cared about that and that it was tied, because you sent me that article, to a phenomenon in a lot of like Chinatowns in various big American cities. Was such an important thing to tackle. And yet I don't care about any of those details.
No, I'm so sorry. The plate and the fishing fleet. Okay, sorry.
Okay, I mean, yeah, okay. The people, you know, getting their economic freedom and their independence. And you know what? It's relevant for now because the role of immigrants and their contribution to society and what does it mean to be free? And like, when are you considered a citizen? You're a high contributor and yet you're still considered this other. And it's so important. And yet I just want to get to the Frisco and Felicia parts. Right?
I know.
Me too. I'm just going to raise my hand. I'm still 11. I still am, you know, after a fraught day in sixth grade of, you know, my crush on James Davis and all of our drama on the playground and feeling like I deeply understood what FNF were going through because I was living it myself in my classroom with James, who, even though I was alive really, but in my mind, our story was like, I was like, oh my God, I totally am in a position to understand this. Right. I was like, I'm in a position to get this because I am also a woman in love. Anyway. So let's talk. Yes. You feel it so deeply. And every song on the radio is your co-conspirator.
I love how you remember his name. You're like,
oh my God, I will never forget it. James Davis. My God.
I know, right? Yeah. It's true. Jeez. Yes. Young love.
Yeah, let's whisper because it's really like so intense. Anyway, so talk to me, I guess. We're just going to riff a little bit. I mean, hello, that's pretty much our script. Let's riff on the topic.
Yeah.
I guess, what if anything did you pick up on this time that was different, or what was confirmed or more interesting? Like, did you put your attention in a different place than you normally do? Just talk to me, I guess, about your general impressions, and I'll just sort of fill in where there needs to be filling.
Yeah, that is a great question. There were, I know we've talked about it before, other storyline clips of theirs that they did, but this in particular one, I've seen the clips, you know, time and time again, but it's like when I was watching them this time, I was catching little things that I hadn't noticed before, connections between them or the way they deliver their lines. It was like, I don't know, like, I can't give a specific like example, but it was just like in scene after scene, like I was just kind of really watching it and really like kind of connecting, like watching it to try to think like what really drew me so much as a young girl to this, like because the storyline surrounding it was so heavy, and for them too, obviously, because they're not together and she thinks she's dead and then she finds him and he doesn't want anything to do with her. He tells her, you know, so that was like really heavy stuff. So I'm like, what was keeping me like into this, you know? And I think I saw through the layers like really early on, like back then, and was just drawn to them with their passion for each other and their dynamicism between their characters. And so when I'm watching it now, I'm like, that has not, you know, faded, and it's even gotten stronger because I'm like more enthralled with how they handled Frisco and Felicia's, you know, not being together and having to tell Frisco, having to tell these things to Felicia that were so hurtful, and facial expressions like that would pick up of, you know, that Jack had Frisco do, or Felicia had, or Christina had Felicia do. So it's like little things that I was noticing that was like making it even more so important to me, because I was like, this is why I love it so much. You know, it's just reaffirming what drew me to it in the first place. And what amazes me is that how many different things I will find, even when I watch a scene 1,000 times, it seems like, you know, it's like there's all these intricate nuances that they do that, you know, I always say can't be scripted, but they just, it's just so natural for them. So I don't know if there's anything that stood out for you, like specifically a scene or,
here's what I was thinking about. I was trying in my mind to isolate, you know, just the lines. And I tried to imagine two other people saying them, or the same two people saying them without a deepening connection that was sort of para the script. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, so some of these, I mean, you can hear some of the, I don't want to say cheesiness, but you can hear the, like the grandiosity, kind of the melodrama of some of the lines. Some scenes are much tighter than others, just on a writing level. And I was like, okay, so two other people are just saying this stuff. Do I care? You know? Right. And well, it would depend on the two other people and whether or not I believed their connection. But that's when I was like, okay, well, it's very much about what the actors are bringing, and isn't it always? But since we're talking about FNF, we'll talk about what I feel like I can sense there is a growing trust between the actors as scene partners. You know, actors often talk about this, like, I felt like I could trust her, I could trust him to sort of be there and be present for me in the scene. And what I feel like I see is Christina feeling safe enough with Jack in these scenes back then to take some chances and to really be vulnerable and to be present in a new way. Like, I think she started doing that, you know, immediately. You know, she was winsome, and, you know, you certainly buy into Frisco and Felicia pretty much from the first hand touch under the bed, you know, but there's a new trust there. There's some like emotional traction. And from a character perspective, like, I love that the Asian Quarter follows all the difficulty with the forgiveness arc from Tony being shot, because that's why the stakes are so high. You know, if they hadn't really come through anything, or they got back together sort of hastily after that, or something so dire as Frisco's brother being put in danger because of her thoughtlessness, if that hadn't been on the table, him telling her, I want no part of you, really doesn't mean as much, because we know how hard and how long it took them to come back. And we know that he doesn't mean that. So I just couldn't help but pay attention to sort of that deepening bond that you sense between the actors, like trusting each other as scene partners. And then the characters have earned this journey as well. So I think what struck me is kind of like you, I realized that not much else about this storyline holds up. Some of it's really cheesy and overblown, and it kind of takes like a little too long. On the one hand, I'm like, wow, every angle of this got privileged, so you can't say the writers didn't do due diligence. But as someone who only cares about Frisco and Felicia, I just was like, wow, their part holds up. You know, the emotional timbre of those moments is still like very much on pitch, I guess. So
absolutely. It's like, I had tweeted something out one day after watching one of those scenes late and kind of said, you know, all these years later, just what the work that they did and what they just brought to it together was just, it's just classic and timeless, because it's just like, those are the parts you keep going back to. And like you said, I could see the deepening of the trust between Jack and Christina off screen. And that was translating on screen, and that they were getting closer, and they were trusting each other, and they were, you know, there was a lot deepening on other levels that they were bringing to the table for this particular arc, and it was really palpable. Like, it's undeniable that there's such, I mean, Jack, you know, used the words himself, that they were very emotionally connected, and I think you see it like literally come to light in this right here. You know, it's just like you said, from the beginning, they, you know, they had traction and you were drawn to them right when they first were on the screen, and like Frisco and Felicia. But this Asian Quarter storyline and what they're just, what was going on with them, you know, being able to play off of each other, and what, you know, real emotions were involved as far as, like you said, like trusting each other and being able to be vulnerable in scenes and growing within their characters and each other, you know, it's, you can just, you can feel it. It's like, you can feel it, you can see it. And I think that's why it's just lasted this long, because the, I mean, who would go back to this 30 years later? It's not a storyline that you're going to be like, oh yeah, let me go watch about the Asian Quarter. And, you know, it's, they're the draw, you know, for us, obviously, but,
right.
It's just, you know, there's so many things going on that we're being able to watch unfold, and it just makes it really beautiful is really what I can say about it.
Yeah, I mean, it just, yeah, you feel each of them, you know, Felicia committing to, or Christina rather, committing to playing Felicia's anguish and her passion and her fear. And you can feel Jack committing to playing, you know, Frisco's drive and his need, you know, for justice and to make things right and, you know, being willing to make these difficult choices. And yeah, you know, some elements of it are dated and don't hold up as well, but you, the spirit of commitment that you feel to making it a really cinematic arc, you know, from production values to the acting, was just really wonderful. I'm glad we got to revisit it together 31 years later as a group. And, you know, the playlists have been a staple of the Fofala timeline this year. They started as, you know, a solace for those of us who felt that there wasn't, you know, room for us at other tables. You know, when Jack and Christina were on When Calls the Heart together, and, you know, you know that story, we needed something for ourselves. Well. So we went back to celebrating, you know, what brought our hearts to the table, so to speak. And I said this back to you in January. I said, I want to close out the year with the Asian Quarter, because to me, that's the perfect, you know, way to, you know, just to cap a year where the intention is to go back and to track their, to track their story. Yeah. So I'm trying to think like whether or not there were any surprises or anything I felt more intensely or more deeply. I would say that I paid even more attention, believe it or not, to facial expressions and some of the nonverbals, particularly in the scene where she goes to see him to say, you know, Sean told me that you guys are leaving and I won't hear from you. So I wondered if you could talk to me about that. Bearing in mind, we have about 10 minutes. I can't believe how fast this has gone. But yeah, I know that we both sort of, we both found some gems there. So talk to me about that from your perspective.
Yeah, that, well, I know we did a whole thing on, we had that one day on Twitter, we were joking about not like how, where they're planning to go to the park for a picnic, you know, we're making those jokes about what we probably thought as 10-year-olds, but yeah, I just, that scene where she comes in and I, for some reason, like we've talked about, I always love how he says her name, like, Felicia, I almost hit you, you know? And, but they are just, she just plays it so well, because it's just like she, they need to be together. Like they have been giving this time, and they have to take advantage of it. Like there's not even a question of, I don't think we can, you know, it's too dangerous. Like none of that. It was like, where will we go? Well, how will we do this? You know, but there's like, the fingertips touching as she turns around to go out the door, and the, like, they just, like, their hands are just grazing each other, and they're not even like, I'm aware of it, I'm watching it, but I feel like it's not planned. It's just they have to be in like constant contact to like the very last millisecond, you know, and then just her expressions of like how she would look at him or how he'd be looking at her. Just there was like a whole conversation going on with their eyes. You know, we always talk about that with the wedding scenes, but that's what I really noticed with watching this again really more intently this time. I was really like paying attention to that and seeing like the, you know, how they looked at each other and conveyed their feelings through just, you know, their expressions. And you just like, you feel the journey with them, you know?
Like, yeah, you really do. And yeah, it's easy to follow that trajectory on Christina's face, which is very expressive. And I mean, there's so much going on. Like whenever I do captures of a scene where there are close, tight shots of them, I tend to get more of her face because I can track what's happening in the scene. Like her face is like a map of her heart, you know?
It really is. Yeah.
But what I realized is like, I have learned to read the map of Jack's face. And I saw so much more than I was able to pick up on purely from that, like by doing capture. I did more captures of his face this time, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's so besotted. Whether you're talking about actor or character, I think both, you know,
right?
Because
both, for sure.
And I just felt I was able to, I guess, hone in on a new intensity. Hone in. I always say that wrong. I was able to detect.
Can we have wine? Can we just call it what it is?
I was able to detect more layers in his face this time. Yeah. And I can't imagine a scriptwriter getting in all of those tags to touch hands. Like that would be tedious. For as often as these two people touch hands in a scene or feel the need to connect and like ground by touching each other in some way, often not on camera. And we've discussed if the camera only picks it up incidentally, it means it probably wasn't scripted. And I'm always going to come back to that because that was their way of like, I think, grounding each other in a scene and saying, I'm here. You can trust me. Like I'm present. And it flows from them as actors, and it flowed very much just like the hair play. You know, it's like sometimes talk about chakras. It's like they were very connected. All their chakras at that time period were very aligned in these scenes. And I think they, you know, used each other for grounding to say, you know, we may not be tethered to anything but each other, but we're tethered here, you know? So.
Well, and that, if we can talk about that last scene when they're at Robert's house and, you know, he had come out of the catacombs and all of that, like that we can follow the path of just, they are literally connected from the moment that scene starts. Even when they're out of camera range, they're holding hands, or she's holding onto his jacket, or they're moving, literally walking together across the room. There's not a moment where they're not together physically in some sense in that. And my theory, which I think I shared with you, was that they, during this Asian Quilter storyline, like it was very F and F centric, you know, but they didn't have a lot of scenes together until the end. Because this storyline was so long and, you know, Trisco was away, you know, so much from her, and Felicia had scenes with other people and stuff. But I really, like, that's something I noticed towards the end, was that they missed working with each other. That was just my conjecture, my feeling. But that scene to me kind of culminated all that time, those scenes apart from each other, where it was just like, and I know they were conveying, Felicia was conveying, that she was so happy he was safe and he was, you know, he was okay. And she like, just had to hold on to him. But like, I just feel like, ah, oh, we get to act together. Like we're back. It's like Frisco and Felicia, you know, Jack and Christina can be back in our space together. And then I don't know, that just kind of hit me this time around, like more so than, you know,
it's very method. It's very method, you know, like sometimes on movie sets where, even if two actors like each other and in real life, if the characters are at odds, the actors will often act that they will stay in that space the entire time of the shoot. And I'm not suggesting that they kept their distance from each other when they weren't filming, like on set. Like I don't have any reason to think that necessarily happened, but you can feel their relief at being back together in scenes and being like, oh, finally, you know, I can breathe. So just by virtue of the shooting schedule, they couldn't have spent much time together because of like the actual, like what was on the page. So it ended up being like a method acting scenario. So I know exactly what you mean. It's like you feel them feeling so happy and glad to be back in that space. And it's just so believable. Like by the time when that story starts,
it really is.
You know, fans of the pairing have a lot to root for. You know, it's so difficult. And it's like they get a tiny little reprieve and then we're right back in the undertow. So I maintain that this was a very important Frisco and Felicia story, but you know, we have some fans and other couple camps who either are ambivalent or actively dislike the storyline. And I think I also understood it from their perspective this time. I was like, God, what a grind. Like if FNF aren't your main focus, this is a real grind. So I just want to publicly acknowledge those people who are like, Agent Porter, kill me now. Because if I had to watch that story with no FNF to look forward to, I couldn't do it. I will say that Wu and Kim, their interactions entertained me. They always have, because Kim is such a train wreck and he wants his grandfather's approval. And Wu is just like totally sarcastic and rude to him. And I very much enjoyed Kim's completely unchecked desire to kill anyone at any time for any reason. That was entertaining.
Just to walk around with his pistol. My favorite line is when Frisco says, "Get off at the dream, girl." Love how he delivers it.
Oh my God! We will always laugh about that. Give up. We say that about people that we see who are sort of delusional. Remember, you know, you and I will be like, "That person needs to get off the dream, girl." Oh God, it is so funny. But isn't Felicia so charming in that scene? And it's Christina's vulnerability. You know, the part that always like really comes at my heart is after they've had the whole, "I don't want you, I don't need you." And she's like, "Tell me you don't love me. Never mind. It doesn't matter." When he's back on his little daybed scenario and she's trying to feed him soup.
Yeah.
And she says, "Can you give me another chance?" And I was like, "Oh my God, you're killing me right here." Like it's sort of, some of it is her inflection.
"I just want to be with you."
Right. I'm like, "Oh my God, you dear, dear girl." I'm like, how did he not like scoop her up, you know, into his arms?
I know. And when she like he has her leave and when they turn the camera back to him and his face, like he's like taking that breath where he's like, "Oh my God." But just him saying like, you know, "Just go, baby, please go." And I'm like, "Okay, take that with you." Like he just,
and then we
get
that sweet scene with Olin where he tells her everything he couldn't tell Felicia. Yeah. It just makes it worth it. Worth it. So many FNFers come back to that moment. We're at 2 minutes. Can you believe it? Before we have to go. I need to re-up my membership to the premium so we can have longer next time. But
We need longer. But that makes it all worth it. And it's just like, okay, we can. And then we need to talk about A2 part 116. That's like the.
Oh my God. Okay. So real quick, those kisses. Okay. Those were two people. Throw down. Do you know what I mean? Like that was like, it was very much the precursor to the surprise visit. Like that's the next time you see that desperation is when he'd been off of the show for 6 months and he comes back for that day and a half. Like heard the nuances that enter into their kisses. You also see deepening kisses at this time, which is a hallmark of a deepening bond, you know, holistically, but
there was a lot of trust.
That was just
going on.
Amazing. A lot of trust. A lot of desire. You see some of the reins that they had had on themselves come off. And I love that. Anyway, Joanna, it's 49 seconds out. So I need to thank you for being on the show. I don't know if we did it justice, but I think we've assessed that the storyline is like kind of boring, but FNF rock. We discovered new depths. And we still enjoy the kissing and we feel like, you know, their part of that story still holds up. Is that fair?
Yes. That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right. Love it. Thank you for joining me. Have a great rest of your night. We will have to schedule a podcast for the new year, and maybe I'll spring for some. I'll respring for the. Talk to you longer. All right. Talk to you later. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.